Thank you, Kate. Man, praise the Lord for that special. Amen. And Calvary certainly did cover it all. Amen. What the Lord did on the cross for us when he died for our sins. And I hope that you know him today as your personal Savior. But thank you for that. What a great, great special. All right. Well, you know, part of my calling is to also embarrass when I have an opportunity. We did have some first-time guests. Now I'm not gonna make you guys stand, but it's great to have Ethan and Hannah here. So I'm gonna have you guys kind of raise your hands, right? They'll probably give you a little crocodile hand raise. That's good. Great to have you guys here. What a blessing. You know, Marina has brought a lot of guests over the last several months, and so she was kind of joking with me. She likes to try to throw me a curveball with trying to catch up with, you know, this new people that I'm meeting. Have I met you before? And so I appreciate her. And anyway, great to have you guys here. So we sure hope that we can be a blessing to you guys. And it's good to have everybody here. Brother Johnny, it's good to see you, brother. How are you doing? All right, always good to see him. All right, you know, we read some verses here about, in James chapter 4, about humbling ourselves and God pouring out grace unto the humble, and then resisting the devil and he'll flee from us. There's some great, great counsel there from the Lord about just drawing close to the Lord and him giving us victory over sin. And that's where I'm going to go to today in my message is getting victory over sin, because that's a challenge. Folks, here's the thing, first of all, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then what you want more than anything is to have forgiveness of your sins, because the Lord Jesus died on a cross for you, and he certainly died for every one of us. Most of us here today know Christ as our Savior. I know that, and so we know what that forgiveness is all about. Praise the Lord for that. Amen? It's wonderful to be forgiven. But for us who know the Lord, there's struggles. We struggle with our sin. And by the way, we're going to be in Romans chapter 6. So I'll have you maybe start to go there and get that, get your Bibles open. But we all struggle with sin. It's a challenge. As long as we have an old nature, and we're going to have this old nature till we go home to glory one day, but it's going to be a dogfight for you and I. It's just going to be a challenge for you and I. That's just putting it right over the plate, all right? A nice little 40-mile-an-hour beach ball right over the plate, just clear as can be, is that it is just a battle. In fact, I know that. It was a battle after I got saved. I mean, God's good when you just get saved. It seems like he kind of clears the way for you for a while, and he blesses your way. God's so good to do that. But over time, and it doesn't take a long time, all of a sudden you just realize there's challenges, and the devil throws trials your way, and sometimes it's just life that throws trials your way. And then you struggle with some things, and I remember struggling as a young Christian with some of the sin, you know, that I battled with, and even to the point where I wondered if I was still saved. Did you ever go through that? Yeah, you wonder, I'm struggling with this. Did I really get saved? Why am I having such a battle with this? Because, folks, we have this old nature. And if you're saved and there's something inside of you that's the Lord, all right, and a new nature that was once dead that has now been quickened and it's made after the image of Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3 that we have this new nature which is created in the image of Jesus Christ. And that new nature can't sin, but we have the old nature, which is, we know, it's just full of corruption. And here's the thing, it's not in my notes, but the thing about that old nature is the Bible says there was a spiritual circumcision that was done on us, so nothing that we could see, but a spiritual circumcision which carved out that old nature, kind of set it over to the side. And the Bible talks about, and I won't get ahead of myself because I'll be bringing up these points about the fact that we're not to, here's the problem, is too many times we access that old nature. We go to the old nature far too often, and we find ourselves struggling and tripping over things, and sinning against the Lord. And not that we should have any excuse to do so, because the Bible gives us promises of victory. So that's what we're going to go at today. I hope that it's the case with you, that you want to live holy. If the Lord's living inside you and you have the Holy Spirit, He's God. God lives inside you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the Comforter, and He's wooing us to Him, and He wants us to live godly. So we want to live holy, but understand that we still have this part of us that wants to undermine all of that, all right? Wants to subvert all of that. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says this: if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So the Apostle John makes it real clear in the first chapter that if we say, I don't have any sin anymore, you know, I was saved and that's all. No, we deceive ourselves. We still have an old nature, and we're going to find ourselves going there far too often, more than we probably would like to admit. You know that verse in Jeremiah. It's an Old Testament verse, but Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't know the depths of our own sin. It's just, we can't fathom all of that. It's fathomless as far as we're concerned. So we must look unto the Lord for His wisdom in order to get this victory, in order to get victory over sin. Proverbs chapter 28, and these are verses I'm just reading to you. We won't turn there, but verses 25 and 26, Proverbs 28, 25 and 26 says this: He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You know, some people like to say, I'm just trusting my own heart. That's not good. We want to look unto the Lord. We need Him to direct us. Amen? But it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And God says, I'll deliver you if we'll walk wisely. And the wise way to walk is to look unto the Lord and seek His wisdom and direction. So you and I are going to have huge battles, monumental battles with sin. We just are. It's part of the process. It's part of just going through life. There are just going to be battles. I hate to, you know, rain on your parade. I've talked to some people here and there. I know I've talked to people at when I've gone out door to door, and I remember one fellow, I talked to him about, do you know the Lord? And then we got into the conversation about sin. He says, oh, I don't sin anymore. And I said, you don't? I said, yeah. He says, for 30 years, I haven't sinned. And I was thinking, have you been like in a coma for 30 years? Or what's going on here? It's like, that's crazy. So he must redefine what sin is, all right? As I said, listen, we're sinners saved by God's grace. Now, that doesn't mean that we should have excuses and try to rationalize our sin. No, we're not supposed to do that. And we'll get into the passage in Romans chapter 6 makes that oh so clear. But we're going to take a look at the Lord's instruction and His teaching and His strategy. He gives us a strategy here about how to deal with sin, on how to overcome it and to have victory. Now, there's still going to be a lot of stumbling that goes along the way. I'm just trying to be a realist. But that's what we're going to look at. God gives us very clearly here in Romans chapter 6. We'll probably get through verses 13, maybe even up to 16. But we're going to take a look at some principles, all right? Some principles of getting victory over sin. A principle is a fundamental truth that makes up the foundation on which we stand. A fundamental truth. So we look at verses 1 and 2, and we'll read those verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we're going to look to the Lord, and I'm going to bring this message about getting victory over sin. And then for those of us that know Christ, that's something that should speak volumes to every one of us. Father, we thank You today that we can come before You, and we're just thankful for what You've done in our lives. Those of us that know Christ as our Savior, we thank You. We thank You from the bottom of our heart. We thank You, Lord, for what You did for us. We thank You that You sent Your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we thank You that He was without sin, and yet He took all of our sin upon Him on that cross. And we sang about that just a little bit ago. And And we heard a special about that just a little bit ago. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us, Lord. We know that we're forgiven. We know we have everlasting life. And you've taken our sins and you've thrown them into the deepest ocean and you've forgiven us. But now, Lord, we know that as we go forward in our lives, we struggle. We have an old nature. And you live inside of us, and we have a new nature that's after the image of Christ, but so many times we still find ourselves going down the wrong path and entertaining thoughts that aren't right and doing things that aren't right. So would you help us, Lord, help us to have victory over some of the sinful tendencies that we all face and that we're all tempted with. Help us to learn how to be holy and godly and pleasing unto you. Help us to desire after righteousness. So we ask, Lord, that as we look at this passage, that you'll speak to our hearts from your word. Again, Lord, I don't want to get in the way. I pray that you'll be able to do the work you want to do. I pray for the Spirit of God to work in every heart here today. And I want more than anything that Jesus Christ would be glorified through all of this. And I do pray that if somebody is here without Christ, that they would get saved. We would love to see them trust you as their personal Savior. So we thank you, and we praise you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now I'll read verses 1 and 2. All right, so we'll take a look here at verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul puts forth this question. It's a rhetorical question, really. I mean, he's saying, so what are we going to say now? Should we continue in sin that the grace that God has shown unto us, that it may abound? Well, he says that's foolishness because he says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We are no longer to continue in sin. That's what the command is to us. That's what the Lord exhorts us unto. But yet, there are still some that like to teach that we can continue in sin. It's kind of foolish, but, you know, there are some that, we're under the grace of God. You know, we're in this dispensation of grace, and so, you know, it's okay if we continue in sin. No, God says it's not okay. It's not okay for you. It's not okay for me. And I know this wicked heart inside of me, and I know the things that I struggle with, and I'm sure you know some things that you struggle with as well. By the way, it says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, and I don't know who the writer of that of Hebrews was. Maybe it was Paul, but it doesn't really matter. But he's writing to these Hebrew or Jewish converts, and he says to them in verse 1, it's right in the midst of it, all right? But he says in the midst of it, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The sin which doth so easily beset us. That's a grand sweep of everybody. And what Paul, if it was Paul that wrote that, but it was the Lord, of course, that writes it. So the Lord is saying, listen, there's some sins that have your name on it that seem like they have your number all the time. It's really quiet in here. It's like I got transported to a mannequin factory for the moment or something. But listen, you guys know it. There's something that trips you up. There's something that you struggle with. And that sin has your name on it. And the Bible talks about the sin which doth so easily beset us. So it wouldn't say that if we're not so easily, stumbling over something. Again, that's not to give any justification for it. But again, there are many that want to teach it's okay, we can just continue in sin. No, we can't continue in sin. That's what Paul says very, very clearly. We're commanded to live a holy life. And so I lay that out before you as well as myself. We're to live holy and godly, but we don't want to try to do that in our own strength. God will give us the strength, and we'll see that in just a moment. But there needs to be a determination on our part that to do it God's way. That ought to be part of the whole equation. The whole formula here is that the Lord says, I want you to be a participant in this. You must be willing, and then I can work through you because it'll be through my power that I help you and help every one of us to begin to get victories over sins in our lives. He wants us to live godly. He wants to seek after righteousness. So again, I want to bring up some important principles here and that will help us to get victory in our lives. The first thing that we're going to take a look at is this principle of identification. So what do you mean by that, Brother Garcia? This principle of identification, to identify with something, all right? Some of you are identifying with Chiefs today, and some of you with Eagles. It's just a little scrub game. You know, I hope you'll be here tonight. It's just a dumb game, right? That's why I'm taping it, okay? Some of you are, identifying with, you identify with this, you identify with that. We could take it a ton of different directions. You know, the Bible says this, that when we got saved, we have identified with Christ. But identified is just like one thing in this world, and oh yeah, you know, I identify with this team, I identify with that team, that's great. But when you identify with Jesus Christ, it's a whole different ball game. It is incredible that we have now become part and parcel with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am in you and you are in me. He says, in John chapter 10, no man can pluck you out of my Father's hands, and no man can pluck you out of my hand. You think when the Lord says that, do you think anybody can challenge that? The devil in all his might can't challenge that. No, nobody can challenge that. Jesus is the creator of the whole universe. You think anybody can actually pluck you out? He says nobody can. He says he's got a hold of you. That's a great, great thing to know. And so we have this identification that of who we're connected with. We're connected with the Lord. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30, where it says, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The Bible says we are members, we're part and parcel with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you got saved, you are a part of him, and he's a part of you. Isn't that a great thing to know? The Bible tells us here, let's take a look at verses 3 through 6. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now listen, we're going to have a baptism next week, but that's not really what this passage is talking about. It might be inferring it, but what this is really speaking about is a spiritual baptism. It's a spiritual baptism that took place when you and I got saved. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 12. I'm just going to talk about here real quick. I'll just turn there just so I read this verse. It says, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, it says, for by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we've been all made to drink into one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That passage is clearly not talking about that baptism behind that wall. It's not talking about a water baptism. It's talking about when you got saved, the Bible says the Spirit of God took you and baptized you. He immersed you into the body of Christ. You became part of a family. And so it was a great spiritual baptism. And so you might go the rest of your life and never get baptized by water. You're still going to go to heaven because you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And so that's really what this passage is speaking about, this baptism. It's a spiritual one that took place when you were born again, when you invited Jesus Christ into your heart. And so it says here again, we'll go back to that verse, and verse 3 of chapter 6 in Romans, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I'll just stop right there. But it just says this. It says very, very clearly that we've been baptized into the likeness of his death. Some way and somehow, and I can't get it even after all the years I've been saved, but that's not saying a whole lot. There's a lot of things that just doesn't quite, you know, it's a thick skull sometimes. But I can't fathom this. I can't comprehend it. And I don't think the most brilliant of minds can't fully comprehend this. But some way, somehow, when we came to Christ, God took us back
and placed us onto the cross with his son. That's what I understand about that verse. That's about the best I can justify what he's saying here, that we were baptized into his death. We were like with him. That's in the mind of God. Can any of us really fathom the mind of God? Who knows the mind of Christ, right? So we were placed on that cross with him. The Bible says this in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." You're dead. You're dead to sin. You're dead to the things of this world in the mind of God. And what a great, great thing that is. He placed us into the Lord Jesus. Listen, have you ever put something in a secure place? Well, sure, we all have. Maybe you've got a safe or something, and you put something in a place where you don't want anybody to get to it. I think of a great safe place. It would be like my wife's purse. That's a safe place. Man, something goes in there, sometimes it's like, what happened to it? My wife looks on over for it, looking, where is it at? But it's in there. And woe be to the man who puts his hand in his wife's purse, because you might come out with a bloody stump, all right? Just don't go there. But listen, there are secure places that we're all familiar with that we want to put things that we value and put them in there. Listen, we are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are secure in him. The Bible says this as we continue to read. It says in verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." The old man is crucified. Listen, there's a whole lot there, and I'm kind of going quickly through it. We could spend a whole couple of weeks on what I've just read. But the Bible says very, very clearly that we are in Christ, that we have died this death with him, but we've also been raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Again, those verses that I just read, the first part talks about, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. And the last part of verse 5, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so just as Christ was risen from the dead, we too have been raised into a new life. You have this new life in Christ if you're saved. It ought to be something that you're very well aware of. It shouldn't be, well, I wonder. Well, if you wonder, take it to the Lord or maybe speak to somebody, but you know, again, we have those doubts that hit us at times. I struggle with this sin. I struggle with that sin. But the Lord can give you some assurance that you and I need. And we've been there from time to time. But it ought to be evident that there was a change in your life and that there was a change in my life. The Bible says this. We know that verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. I remember when I got saved, that was glorious. I remember going home. I didn't even remember all that had happened to me. I just knew that God had forgiven me of my sins and that I belonged to the Lord. That's about all that I knew, but this tremendous weight had come off of me. I think about D.L. Moody every time I read his conversion, when he got saved, when his Sunday school teacher, Mr. Kimball, came and talked to him about the Lord while he was working in a shoe store. And God spoke to his heart. He came to trust Christ and said that when he finally walked out into Boston Commons, he said it was just wonderful. I'd never seen that before. It was like the birds were singing. I'd never noticed the birds before, but I felt like they were all singing to me. God had done something amazing. And we ought to be able to look back to that time and say, yeah, I remember when that took place in my life. I remember when I got saved and what a wonderful, glorious time that was. Verses 7 through 10, as we'll kind of go through this, and I was taking into account the time that I wanted Brother W.T. to bring the situation about Cuba, so I thought I'll bring something a little quicker here. So verses 7 through 10, he says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." Remember that we are dead, folks. Remember that we are dead. We're dead to that sin that we were once held bound by. The Bible, as we continue to go on, we'll see that we were held captive by sin. But when you trusted Jesus Christ, the Bible says those shackles were taken off. And the Bible says that now you are dead to those things. You're dead to the things of this world. And now you live in Christ. You're alive in the things that are spiritual and the things that matter to God. And I can certainly relate to that. Yes, even with all my struggles, I know I belong to Him. And I know He's done something in my life. And I know that I've been greatly liberated. What a great thing it is to know that, folks. And I hope that you know that on a regular basis. So, folks, remember that we are dead, yet we live. We live in Christ. We're dead to sin, but the Bible says we're alive unto righteousness. Alive unto righteousness. So now there's another important principle, another important truth that I want to bring forth and for us to be able to get a hold of. And it's not only the principle of identification that we've identified with Christ, but it's this principle of reckoning. This principle of reckoning, and we're going to read it here as we'll get to verse 11. Reckoning. We don't use that word reckon a lot. I imagine Brother W.T. and Diane, when they go back to Tennessee, they probably hear that word a lot. Well, I reckon. I just don't use it that a lot, right? But to reckon, that means, right, brother, I'm looking at you. Probably W.T. probably is like, yeah, can you imagine W.T. down in Tennessee? Yeah, and it's all of a sudden, it's just like, he's a Tennessean and using the word reckon. Reckon means to consider those things to be so. Consider something to be so that it applies to me, all right? That it's something that I'm supposed to make application in my own life. Now, if you don't do this, then you and I hardly realize anything that has happened in our life if we don't reckon. Tell that to some people where there were some dramatic changes in their life, like Zacchaeus or the woman at the well or the maniac of Gadara. They saw a dramatic change in their life. And you and I need to be aware of what God has done in our life. And we need to be aware of the fact that God says, I want you to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. We take a look here at verse 11 and it says this, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon that you're dead unto sin. Know without a doubt that God has said you're to reckon yourselves to be dead to be dead unto sin. So we're to tell ourselves that, Lord, you said for me to do that, and I'm going to take that, and I'm going to embrace that, and I'm going to believe that. You know how it is. Sometimes it's hard to take something that we read off the page of Scripture where maybe it's kind of like in theory, yeah, I believe those things, and then to actually see it incorporated into our lives. Right? I mean, we could probably have some testimonies. How many things do you really believe what God's saying, but you know that you don't see it practiced in your life? So it's just like, you know, I mean, yeah, we hear it, but we don't really follow through and believe it. So there's a big difference between the two, right? There certainly is. And that's why the Lord says, you're to reckon it. You know, we're to reckon what He's doing in our life. We're to reckon the fact that we're to be dead indeed unto sin. This reckoning is, in one sense, it's a process. It's a back and forth kind of a thing, you know, where you see some progress, you see three or four steps forward, but then sometimes you see one or two steps, or maybe three or four or five steps backwards. Can you relate to that? Right. Yeah, you know, you see progress, but then you see slipping and you go back a few steps. So it is this back and forth thing. It says in verse 36 of Romans chapter 8, it says this, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." The Apostle Paul wrote this, and you know the meaning behind that is, listen, there's this life that's ahead of us that we're to die to the things of this life. We're to die to the things of this world. We're not to love this world. Brother Jordan brought this up. He brought up even a lot of what I'm talking about, overcoming sin, but also we're not to love the things of this world. And he made it real clear. We're not talking about trees and the snow and the God's creation. We're not talking about that at all. It's beautiful. Even in this fallen earth with sin in it, you see God's hand. It's just gorgeous what he's done. But he's talking about this world system, the attitude of the world. We're not to love that. We're to disdain that. We're to love people, and we want to reach people for Christ, but we're not to love the things of the world, those things. Amen? And so we see that in that verse. And then 2 Corinthians 4:11 says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Listen, there are things that we're being delivered up unto death if we just yield to the Lord. And the Lord's going to take us through a process. And that process is the work of sanctification that's being done in our life. And the Spirit of God does that. He works in our lives, but he's seeking, you know, this is God. God, the Spirit of God, is living inside of us and bringing us along in this way to bring us more toward the image of Christ. And it's a work, and we are supposed to work along with the Lord, get into His Word, spend time in prayer, ask the Lord to help us to keep our minds on heavenly things, and the Lord's work will be made a whole lot easier. It's not like the Lord can't do it in His omnipotence. He certainly can. He's God. But He's always wants to work through our will. And that's where we handcuff God. That's just the way He's made it. So when we yield, then, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit, then He's able to do what He wants to do in our lives. And so this principle of reckoning, you think about just some of the things that we struggle with. I won't have you raise your hand, but I think probably some of us struggle with a temper. We got saved and we had a temper like nobody's business. And you think that just went away when we got saved? No, it was still there. The sins which so easily beset us. You know, when we fall back away from the Lord, guess where we usually go? We go back to those sins we were familiar with back in the day. And that's where we're going to find ourselves going back and back to the old, back to places where we should not go. Temper, maybe it's greed and lusting after things. And you know, we find ourselves struggling with those things. Maybe the things you struggle with are fears and insecurities. I can relate to those. I can relate to the fact that, man, I thought I left those back in my, left them way back in my childhood. No, some of those fears and insecurities keep hanging on, don't they? We don't want to admit that, especially as guys, because we're really macho. I fear nothing. Well, the Bible says we're fools, right? If we fear, we even need to fear God. But listen, there are still fears. Now, the Bible says God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But in the old nature, that's where the fears come from. Because in the new nature, God's not given us those kinds of fears. Yet we still try to go back. I always refer to the old nature as kind of like that old detached garage that just sits out there. And it's got, you know, I'll go by some of these houses in the area, and it's just like this beautiful house. And then there's like an 1842 cabin alongside of it where, you know, my great-grandpa, he used to live there. He homesteaded this place, you know, that kind of thing, you know. And that's not, I'm not making fun of that, but it's like, that's neat, that's nice, but I would level it if I were you. You're not laughing with me. I need a courtesy laugh right now. But I'm thinking, it just reminds me of a place where you just would not want to go inside. It just looks like things that you just wouldn't want to involve yourself with. It's like having that detached garage where there's a lot of things in there that aren't good. I remember we had a detached garage when we lived in Southern California. You remember that one time? I took the color TV out there and we watched, with the kids were little, we watched Wizard of Oz for the first time. And I think this relates because, you know, Wizard of Oz, fine movie, but then my kids were scared of flying monkeys for the longest time. And it was like, probably shouldn't have gone out to the detached garage, right? So that's a little bit of what we do too often. We go places where we should not go. And so maybe it's fears, insecurities, or maybe it's just worries, or maybe there's some jealousies. You know, the Bible talks about, what's that verse in Proverbs where it says, anger is outrageous and wrath is cruel, but who can stand against envy? There's envy that can be part of our, you know, that old nature, and we still hold on to it. And somebody else has something go well for them, and we just get envious. We put on a smiling face, but we're like, I'm not really happy, because we're still embracing the envy, the jealousy. It's there. I'm not going to say I never struggle with it. You know, it's like, gee, I wish I could be a millionaire. That's not going to happen, all right? I know Aiden preached that, you know, he would love to be able to have a Tesla? What are those? What's that? Cybertruck? But you'll never get one, right? Yeah. You never know. No, you know what? So there's envy there, but maybe that's something you struggle with. Maybe there's a pride or bitterness. There's bitterness in your heart, and you just can't get over that. The Lord says, you're drawing from the wrong well. You're going back to the old nature because I've commanded you to forgive somebody. I've commanded you to get it right. And when we don't do that, folks, we're living in the wrong house. We're not in the right place. So those are things that we would deal with. And so this principle of reckoning, again, in one sense, it's a process. In another sense, it's something that's complete. And I think we can look at both ways. You know, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm crucified with Christ, he says. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. All right, it's Christ doing his work through me. Let's understand that we can get to the point where it's settled and we just know that we're just going to trust the Lord. This thing, I can reckon where I'm at. This God has called me to this. If you can get your mindset consistently here, Christian, and again, to myself as well, if we can get our minds continually on this, I'm going to reckon and I'm going to believe it's so because he told me this. So if we get our minds and we can hold on to that, that's when you and I can become established, or established, as we would say, but the Bible says established, and we can become grounded and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that where you want to be? Is your life, and you can answer it, is it just kind of a up and down, it's a roller coaster? You don't need a season pass to Silverwood. You've got your own roller coaster ride going on, right? Maybe we all do. But listen, is it secure? Are you just, no, this is what God says, and I believe it. And when you do, you begin to see God working in your life. We must have the Spirit of God doing his work in every one of our lives. Reckon that you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So just as you've reckoned or considered it already a done deal, that's what reckoning is, it's already a done deal, then you're dead indeed unto sin, the Bible says. And now you must consider yourself to be alive unto God. I'm alive unto God. I can do whatever he's called me to do. I can have this victory over some of the things that I struggle with, some of the things that are fearful for me. I can have this victory, and I know you'll give it to me. And he might not give it to you overnight, because he sometimes just doesn't give us things right away at every little whim. It's not that he's not a good God. He is ready to train us and to teach us. I mean, do you think these guys that are playing in this game today just, you know, they just go at it once in a while and they hardly ever practice? And those guys are working hard at it for this game today, right? They're 100% at it. Well, what about how are we in our Christian life? Do we just kind of, you know, give it a, you know, a little nod and a grin and that's all we do? Or do we really dig in and talk to the Lord about it and say, Lord, help me. I believe these things. And then the Lord is not necessarily, like I said just a few minutes ago, he's not going to just give it to you and I, but he's going to bring us along and he's going to take us through the ropes and he's going to train us and he's going to strengthen our faith. So that we can get to the point where we can say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Lord, you've strengthened my faith. I've been in your word. I've been in prayer. And I'm watching you change me. And I'm seeing that there's a difference in my life. And the Lord will do that if we'll take that step of reckoning. That's something that takes place by faith if we'll just trust the Lord. So if you've put on this mindset, then you must now abide by the principle of yielding, all right? This last one that I'll bring up and I'll get through here. The principle of yielding. Verses 12 and the first part of 13 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't become a servant to sin, he's saying right here, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So don't yield your members, your hands, your eyes, your feet, your mind. That's all of the members of our body. Don't let them be yielded unto as instruments of unrighteousness, he says. There's this thing about yielding, where yielding means to give way to. You know, you see the yield signs out on the road. What does that mean? It means when you come up to it, that means you're supposed to give, oncoming traffic the right of way. They have, first dibs at the road, and you're supposed to wait until it's clear. You yield. You give way to. And that's what the Bible's speaking here. We're to give way to the things of the Lord. Do not yield unto sin in your body. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, as we yield to the flesh, and as we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap those things. We're going to reap carnal things. If that's what we're just constantly putting in our minds, if we're not putting the Word of God there, if we're not spending time in prayer, if we're not looking to meditate on godly things and try to walk by faith and seek to walk by faith by God's power, we're going to find out that, you know, we're just going to be reaping a lot of things that we don't want to reap. But if we want to reap things of the Spirit and things that are everlasting, then that's when we have to make a determination that we yield unto the Lord. Lord, help me. You know, my mind constantly goes places where it shouldn't. Lord, help me. Your word says, what? Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Right? We're to think on these things. Does your mind ever get sidetracked, and you're going, what am I thinking about that for? Why did I do? What is going on? You know, I'm sitting in a mall with my wife, and I'm in the food court, and there's an Elvis Presley song, and my foot just starts bebopping and tapping. I'm like, foot, what are you doing? You're the foot of a Baptist preacher. We don't do that. And it's like my foot's looking at me like, I'm sorry, I'm just so weak and helpless. Little five-year-old comes by and looks at his mom and says, that man's talking to his shoe. Stay close to mommy, honey. Let's just keep walking, you know. Listen, we, the members of our body, we can certainly yield them unto the things of unrighteousness, but we're to yield them unto God. We're to commit our eyes unto the Lord and our thoughts and the things that we do. Because that's what the Bible's saying, that we're to yield these things unto him. Don't give sin momentum, right? Listen, seriously, if your besetting sin is cheeseburgers, don't hang around McDonald's. It's just that simple. I was just going to get a, you know, a little ice cream sandwich or whatever, and a hot fudge sundae. And I walked out with a cheeseburger in my hand. How did that happen? That's just right. That's just common sense. We don't want to give sin a momentum. Don't go places where you struggle with sin. Be careful with those phones. Be careful with those smartphones, those iPhones. Be careful with TV. Be careful with the old friends that you might hang around, because they'll bring you to a place where I didn't think I would be there again. You got to be careful with those things. Amen. The old habits, you know, and you can get into a habit of just, you know, going back to old ways. I mean, you know, we go to the fair when, you know, we get a booth in the fair, and sometimes we just go walking around, and what, I think I'm like 8 years old again, and they got these goofy stuff, you know, all kinds of different pretzels and grilled cheese Frito Crunch sandwiches and super-sized funnel cakes, and boy, you talk about a gut bomb. It's like a gut bomb that you'll never, you know, fatal. I mean, it's like, what was I thinking? And, you know, it's like, that's just foolish to just kind of just partake of what the world wants to give you, and you don't think that there's going to be a price to be paid? Certainly there's going to be a price to be paid, and I think we just need to just watch what we do and just give it unto the Lord and trust Him. Because the last part of this verse as we finish up here says this in verse 13, where it says, first of all, I'll read the first part where I just finished, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield. There's that word yield again. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Put yourself always in the right places for you to succeed spiritually. That's just common sense, isn't it? Put yourself, myself as well, I'm speaking to me, put myself in the right place. That doesn't mean you never have fun or do things like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, boy, where's your mind at all the time? Because the battle is usually won and lost right here. And if we can get ourselves reading the Bible every day, that's a big step right there. So that's why I always encourage you, be in your Bibles if you know the Lord. Read that Bible. Ask the Lord to open it up. Ask Him to reveal some things to you. You're not going to hear Him audibly. He'll speak to you. The Spirit of God who's living inside you will reveal some things to you and I. And maybe the Lord just puts it on your heart like, I don't want you to be hanging around that person anymore. And you just know that's what the Lord spoke to you about. It's like, yeah, you know, tell them about me, but don't go off and spend time with that person. They're just taking you down. Maybe I'm speaking to some young people, but not necessarily. Or maybe the Lord says, I don't want you to listen to that kind of music anymore. I want you to listen to music that glorifies me. The Lord spoke to my heart about that as a young Christian. I was saved, and for several months, I was still listening to the rock and roll and all of the stuff, and I could tell you a whole bunch of bands that I listened to. And then God just began to speak to my heart and said, I don't want that for you anymore. I want you to listen to songs that lift me up. And I got rid of all those songs and got rid of all of those cassette tapes. And you're like, what's that? It's a while back. Okay, I'm dating myself. I got rid of all of that stuff and just began to want to start listening to what God wants me to listen to. And the Spirit of God will speak to your heart. I don't want you to treat that person the way you've been treating them. Treat them with some love. Show some gentleness. Show some long-suffering and patience. Maybe whatever, but God will speak to our hearts if we'll listen to Him. God is so good to do that. But put ourselves in the right place. Put ourselves, be in church when you can. Be in church as often as you can. Hear the teaching and the preaching of the Word. Be around other Christians. Sometimes you can't always do that because of a schedule. I understand that. But it's just good to be around people. Come to a prayer meeting. Spend more time in prayer. Take tracts. Give them out. You know, Brother Ray talked about that. Being a witness. We're witnesses here. We are missionaries around here. Let's take some tracts and leave them places. Let's just take those steps of just, Lord, would you help me? I want to yield these members to be members of righteousness that you can use. And so with that, you know, I already gone a little bit longer than I really wanted to. But that, you know, that's just really a clear-cut strategy that the Lord gives to us. These principles are important for us to get a hold of this principle of identification. You are in Christ if you're here with, if you know Him as your Savior. You are in Him. He's in you. That's already more than half of the battle. that you know, Lord, I'm in you, and you love me, and you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And then that principle of reckoning, to know that something is so because God has told you. And then that principle of just yielding to the Lord. Just yield your bodies to him. But it has to be done on a regular basis. It's not just a one time, well, I went to the altar like, you know, 12 years ago, and I gave my heart to the Lord. It's got to be a daily thing. Paul talked about dying daily, and I think that can be used toward that same, to support that argument. It's an ongoing thing. Lord, help me. I find myself slipping and wandering. What does that hymn say? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It's just part, you know, the sin which doth so easily beset us. Lord, help me. I know I find myself slipping or drifting. Help me to get right. Help my heart to be right. Help me. I want you to use me. I want my thoughts to be pleasing unto you. I want to yield myself unto you. And God will help you and I to have victory over sin. He'll help us to have. He'll help us to win the battle. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody here today. I know in a lot of ways I'm speaking to myself. But that's how we'll see victory. Now, if you're here without Christ, then I would love to see you get saved. I would love to see you trust Christ. I remember way back when I made that decision to bow my knees to the Lord and say, Lord, you died for me on a cross, and I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell, but I want you to save me. I believe you died on the cross for me, and that you rose again, that you're alive, and you said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on you to save me. You know, the Bible says he'll save you if you come to him and your heart's right and you know, there's a true heart of repentance. God will give you eternal life. So if you're here without Christ, I'd love to see you get saved. And in just a moment now, as we're about ready to close here, we'll have a hymn of invitation. And it's an opportunity for believers and somebody who's not a believer to make a decision to trust Christ as your Savior, or maybe just to look unto the Lord and say, Lord, I want to have some more victory over some of the things that I struggle with. And I'm looking unto you to help me and to give me the strength. With that, let's bow our heads. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. Vicky's coming up. Brother Ray's going to lead us in just a moment. But if God's spoken to your heart, I hope you'll respond to him. God is so good. He gives us everything that we need in this Bible. He shows us how to live. And he's showing us how to overcome some things that drag us down. And he reveals to us maybe some of the things that we're doing that are the reason for that. We get our hearts on him. Maybe you're here without Christ and you need to get saved. I want to encourage you to step out in the aisle and to come up, and we'll show you from God's word how you can be saved and you can know Jesus as your Savior. And if God's spoken to you otherwise, brother or sister in Christ, then I hope that you'll just do business with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together. Lord, help us. Lord, we have so many struggles in this life, but you guarantee and you give us great victory. Your word says, nay, we are, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Lord, we pray, Father, that we'll keep our eyes on you. Help us to stay in this book. Help us to simply yield ourselves to you. And we pray, Father, that you'll do this work in us that you promised to do. So we thank you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.